Well, that's what this message is about, building up that new man. And but before you can build up the new man, you better know where the old man is, and don't try to wear his clothes. But I think we're going to start in Colossians 1 just for a little bit, and then we're going to go where I've really been studying. But he led me here this morning. This is Colossians, and I remember Bill Young always said that it was Colossae had heard the word of God, and they had heard it from Epaphras. And there was results because of that word. But the thing that he always told us was Colossians was a book of correction. And I thought, well, they're getting in trouble for something. It isn't. It's leading and guiding them in the way of righteousness. We have to be instructed which way to go and what really to believe in. Because Judaizers, they were in that time trying to come in and in themselves bring truth. In themselves try to say things. We're going to be led by the power of the Holy Ghost and what he reveals to us. And it's a revelation he's given to each of us. So in verse 1, well, I have to first say, Paul said, I have espoused you to one husband. But what did he say? He said he was kind of concerned that the enemy would come in his subtlety and trick those saints. And that they didn't see that the headship is Christ. Everything they are, that bride is being removed, but she's going to be found in him. Has nothing to do with self-works. It has everything to do with who I am in the beloved. But he is the head of the body. They could hear false doctrine bring in that this one's the head. This one's the head. This one you better have as the head. No, it's Christ is the head of his body. And even Epaphras, you know, when he was teaching the word, I love it because you're going to see he was a minister. He was a minister of God's word. Paul at this time, I believe, was in prison in Rome. He wasn't there though. And I love this because he was a minister. And I looked up minister and it says a minister is a servant of others. It's not a superior of others. It's a minister of others. And every time, you know, Jean's been talking about grace. When we go to the throne room of grace, we're praying not just always for us. We're praying for the body. We are one. We should be concerned with what's happening to the rest of our body. And sometimes we get the wrong mindset and the wrong attitude of heart. But I like it because your attitude can be right when you see you're a minister for the saints, to others. You're praying for others. You're not superior. Paul, the very first word, Paul, little one, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, and there's a comma, but I want you to get the apostleship. When he said he's an apostle, he was an apostle because he had been called to be that apostle. It wasn't called of men. It wasn't put in a position by man. This is a calling of God. And God wanted Paul in that. And he even will tell you he was given a whole dispensation of the grace of God to do what? Minister Christ unto you. Minister who it was that he was going, because he had to have it revealed in himself first. And I love that. See, I'm not speaking another man's words. I'm speaking what the Holy Ghost reveals in my heart. It has to become mine before you can give it out to somebody else. He said, the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. And I like that. Why did he say saints and faithful? Because they were still Christians. There were still saints. They were in the beloved, but there were those who were faithful to the truth. And he said, but the letter is, he didn't forget any of them. You see, he always had everyone on the same level. It's like to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you. And I love that. It doesn't say a grace to me. It says, grace be unto you. And he said, grace be unto you and peace from God, our Father. He's our Father. and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of all of us. So if you look at this, it's like so perfect when you look at it through his eyes. And he said, we give thanks to God. He said, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Due to the circumstances Paul was in at that time, wasn't it amazing that his heart attitude was for the church of Colossae? Hadn't even been there. Hadn't been with them. But he knew by the message that had been preached by one who had believed the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he took that message and he just preached the same Jesus, the same message. Since, he goes, we've been praying. Guess who for? For you. We're praying for you. And I go, that's a big attitude. That's a love attitude. We're praying for you. Why? Well, as we're praying, we're giving first thanks to God. He is our Father, and we have the same Lord. And I'm praying always for you, and there's a comma. So it goes, keep going. Since we heard of what? Your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all the saints. You know, to someone who gives out the message, they wait and let God bring an increase. But when they start seeing love to all the saints, there's fruit from that message. When they see faith, there's fruit. It's coming from the message. They're giving thanks to God. Why? He didn't say, I'm giving thanks to Epaphras. He said, I'm giving thanks to God because the very message that was preached is bringing forth fruit unto God. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard from before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You see, you heard the word. It was true. And you took it for what it was. And you know what it became? As a man thinketh he is, so is he. If you think you're in bondage, you haven't had enough truth. You haven't had enough of the gospel preached. If you need a little bit of attention from man and you got to have his pats on the back, you need a little more gospel preached. Our security and our assurance is in one, and he is the head of his body. The hope that is laid up for you in heaven, he said, you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you. As it is in all the world. Is man going to be without excuse? No. It bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you. It's bringing forth fruit in us. Notice it's not working on the outside and make it look right, but there's really not a work in their heart. If there's a work done in heart, it's going to be love in here and love when you get out to your car. It's going to be the same words. I love the saints. I love. And when we get in our car, wasn't it wonderful to hear brother so-and-so? I like that one thing. It's the gospel. It's the word of truth. He said, in you, since the day you heard of it, you accepted it. You ate it. It's in you. And knew the grace of God, but you knew it in truth. You see, we preach in truth and grace, preach in love the true message. You also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. Notice, fellow servant. He's just a minister. He's just serving you. He's a minister of Christ, who also declared unto you love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, since we heard of this, we have not ceased to pray for you. You see, he's saying, we're still praying for you. We want that gospel to be preached and bring forth fruit and much more fruit unto God. And to desire that you might be filled. Now look at this prayer. Do we pray for saints like this, or do we pray for ourselves? That you will be filled with the knowledge of what his will is in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Not worthy in front of people, worthy in front of the Lord. That's the right attitude. Whether you're here, whether you're in your car, whether you're at home, whether you're on your job, do others see Jesus in you? Because that's what really counts. It's not the words we speak. It's the life we live before them. And I want you to notice in Colossae, he's getting everything in order. Because by the time you get to chapter 3, Paul kind of continuously does this. In chapter 3, you're going to see some practicality of that. 1 and 2 is going to really show you who you are, what's going on, get it in the right order. He said, I want you to be all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. If you're all pleasing, how do we please? Without faith, that's fruit. It's impossible to please God. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened. He wants you strengthened. Gene's been talking about grace. It's not just a word and we are highly favored. We are highly favored. But it's a work he's doing of heart. He's influencing my heart, your heart. And that's when you're strong. You're strong in who? In the Lord. He gives you his strength, God's strength, that he sent his son for us. He already knew we couldn't do it. And I'm going to say it right today. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who? He's the one. It's Christ in me. And when I'm strong, he gets the glory. I'm saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. You're going to have all might. This is what he's praying for. According to the glorious power and to all patience, that's cheerful endurance and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. You see, giving thanks, when you see all this, when all these things begin to, you're taking in that truth. And he said he's giving thanks to the Father. But I guarantee you, once this is being worked in you, you can't help but worship the Lord. You can't help but come back and say, God, thank you. What about the leprous men? How many came back? One. One came back to say thank you. You see, he's coming back not saying, I'm giving thanks to God for me. No, it all is pointing to the gospel. It's all giving glory to God. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Even when you take in the word of God. I love it when Bruce comes up and begins to share what he got from a message or from a lesson. It's because it's the light of the glorious gospel. It's he's taking in. He's an heir. He's sharing that with me or a sister or a brother. Some of them won't share nothing with you. And that's okay. That's between them and God. But I tell you what, when it's done in the way God wants it, this should be an eternal ring, eternal security, eternal love. This is a love worked in the saint's heart, and we're in this together. We're joined unto Christ. There's our unity. It's oneness. Who hath? Now notice, he already hath. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Now we got to get this because at the Church of Colossae, maybe someone, Judaizer, came in and said, you're not delivered from the power of darkness. You have to take that provisional gospel and you have to allow God to make it practical in your life. Has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And he says, in whom? In Christ. We have redemption. You've been bought out of bondage. You're bought out of slavery. You have a new head. You don't have the old head anymore. But you have to get it, because if we really don't get it in here, sometimes when we have these battles of the two natures going on, the two creations, here they are, and you don't know one from the other. You think it's you being naughty. You think it's you who's doing these things. You're wearing the dead man's clothes. You're a living, alive in Christ. He said, don't wear that stuff because it's a stench in the nostrils of God. We have redemption. We have it. We already do. Through his blood, that blood was shed on Calvary for every one of us. All these things that we'll see in the upcoming chapters, all those things were why Jesus died. All of them. If you go to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 3, look at the declaration of the gospel. That's why Jesus, he had to have that life to bring forth a new way for us. But Romans comes in with the hub of the wheel, and he's beginning to tell the saints, look, you were this, dead in trespasses and sin. He even goes to those of the religious. Well, we do this and we do that and we don't do that. He even flattens them to the ground because we all have to be one, and it's made partakers in one man, Christ Jesus. Christ is to be the preeminence. Okay, I am going to stop right there because I want you to go to chapter 3. And I don't believe it's me, I believe it's he. This is the true center of a Christian's life. Now, all these things, and you can go back and look in chapter 1, chapter 2, and then go to chapter 3. See if it doesn't look like practicality in your life. This is the true center of a Christian life. Who should it be centered upon? Christ. If ye then be risen, since. There is no doubt. It's since you've been risen. Since you then be risen. Look at what you've been brought into. You didn't have to stay in a grave. You didn't have to wear old dead man's clothes. You've been risen with Christ. But look, he said, with Christ. He was the first of resurrection. He had to go down in death. He had to be buried. He had to come up in the newness of life that now we can say, I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Now we have new desires. We have new affection. We have new places to go. Everything is about up. Him has nothing to do. This world is not our home. If you look around at all the things, and we're living in the day of perilous times, reducing of strength. If you look around this world, you should feel like a foreigner. You should feel like if you went to a country and didn't even know how to talk like them, didn't even know where the best places to eat were, because there's so much defilement. We're walking in this world. We're here walking, but we're not here living. We're living in Christ in the heavenlies. We're enjoying our blessings in the heavenlies. And I think he wants us to keep pondering, who am I? Because let me tell you, if you don't know who you are, he's going to say, well, you're a gossip. You are a backbiter. You are stingy. You are this, and you are that. Jesus died for all that. Oh, Lord, give me the grace of God, the strength, the power of the inner man. He's able. Through him, I can conquer. That's what that Romans 7, there was a struggle going on. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. I tell you, we have to come. Oh, wretched man that I am. That in me dwelleth no good thing. Every good thing about anyone, me. I just always say me, so you don't think I'm talking about you. Me. Any good thing is Jesus. Anything good is Jesus. It's because the gospel's been preached. If I can love the unlovable, that's because the gospel's been preached. If I can love someone who doesn't deserve love, that's grace. That's the gospel. That's what leveled all of us at the same place, even the religious one who thought he was so much better. Folks, it doesn't. It levels us like this, an even place that Christ and Christ alone will be magnified. His grace. If we already got it, we don't need his grace then. If you then be risen with Christ, then you're going to start seeking something different. Then you seek those things which are above. You see, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And right now, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. So God, change my heart, oh God. Renew in me the right man, the right spirit within me. Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Where? In the heavenlies. He's resting. He's sitting. He knows everything. Remember when he said, "It is finished." Everything about that old, dead, sinful man, he conquered it. And he said, "Now I want my people to rise up with me in the new man. I am your head now. I'm your head. And I want you to enter into the victory that you have in Christ. This is the victory that overcomes the world." He's sitting on the right hand. The right hand speaks of power of God. And he said, "Set your affection." Set your affection. What is your affection? Do you have the affection on things of the earth? Or is your affection on things above? He just telling us right here, he goes, look, this is practical now. You already got chapter 1. You already got chapter 2. He's always adding to and building thereupon to bring us. We can walk in practicality through his power, through his strength. It's going to be things above and not on things of this earth. Not under the earth. Remember what we saw? I saw that nothing under the earth, it was all vain. Everything was vain. And it just kind of went like, even on the earth, it just keeps going back in a circle. You think I'm joking? You think of even styles and fashions. What's a fashion today, if the Lord tarries, in about a year or so, it's going to be something we already had it. The flesh never changes. It's never satisfied. It's got to always keep going round and round. What did they do in the wilderness? They wandered in the wilderness. But we can take our place in Christ when I see all these blessings. Christ, when Christ, who is our life, when Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify. Mortify there your members which are upon the earth. And I looked that up, the mortify, and it was, one of them said in the English that if you went in, that's where man gets that thing about mortician. But I like the one that said, you just put it to death. Okay, now people always say, well, I have to put this to death today and I have to die every day. And you died once. You reckon it. So every day when you die with Christ now, every day you reckon that, you're going to be suffering for the cause of Christ. We just have to count what's done is done. And then he said, set your affection on things above. And then he said, the new creation life, you're risen with Christ. You're going to seek those things that are above. Why? You are alive from what? The dead. I've risen with Christ. I am now alive. And the life I now live, there's fruit there. Because I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. That's how I'm living. Because he chose to believe God. He learned the things that he was obedient. The things that he suffered, it was when he's obedient to his Father. He wants us to enter into all this beautiful glory that he's got for us. And he says, when you're dead, I like this part, the double assurance. Let's see. For you are dead, your life is hid. It's hid. I love that. Your life is hid with Christ and in God. You got double security, double assurance, and to me, that's a good double portion. You are dead. This all goes back to Romans chapter 6. You are dead, but you are alive. But you have to count a double reckoning. I died with him, I was buried with him, but I am alive now unto God. And now that you are alive with God, you should bring forth fruit unto God. Here's that faith. Here's the love. Here's the patience. Here's all these things, that disciplined life. You don't got no disciplined life. You can even look disciplined. Do you know that? You can look disciplined on the outside, and there's nothing even on the inside that made you disciplined. The discipline means you have had a teacher. You're beginning to know who is him. Who is this one? I must know him. Because if I don't know him, I can't rejoice in him. I'll rejoice in me. I'll rejoice in something else. I can remember things in my past. They would say, oh, you made it. You did it. And it broke my heart because the Lord was taking me out of that part of the system in the world. And he said, did you like him saying how you did it all? Oh, look what you have accomplished. And I go, Lord, they're not even saying anything about you. But they gave me a golden key and it had a stone on it. And I went, I shouldn't be taking this golden key. He's the key. And then I thought it was wrong for me to go to this place. It wasn't wrong. It was my attitude to go to that place was wrong. That without him, nothing. You can't do anything. It all has to be because he giveth the strength. He gave me the ability. So when you're being awarded, you say, it was all Jesus. What are we going to do in the end? All glory, all honor, all power to thee. It's so simple. It's just him, his glory, his power, his majesty. He said, well, you need to mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And that just means put to death, reckon it so. And then he mentioned these different things. Fornication. And I really got in and I studied like different ones, what they had said. But it was a worship of idols, headship, false headship. It's adultery. It's spiritual. Like it's prostitution. It's unlawful. It's lust. We are taking a place that's not rightfully been given to us. And then he said, put those to death. To death. Reckon they're dead. These are the things I took care of. They were nailed to the cross for you. Fornication, uncleanliness. Uncleanliness means you have an impure motive. You're impure. It looks good. Oh, I said that already. But it's not cleansed on the inside. Your attitude is for gratifying and satisfying and pride and showing off the flesh. You're unclean. We need to be cleaned. Washing of the water of the word. And then he says, fornication, unclean, inordinate affection. And that's experience of being affected to feel, to feel well of yourself. But it's evil concupiscence. And that one, when you take concupiscence and covetousness, I put these two because I kept getting they kind of intermingled together. It was You want what is forbidden. You have a longing for something it is not even for you. See, anything in this world, did he say it's for you? No, he said you have riches higher than here. You have something up here. And then he said, and I've said this before, well, why couldn't my kids turn out like those kids? And the sweet spiritual sister said, think of this. Some people have sweet spiritual husbands. Maybe their other people don't have that same part in their life. We're all, God has given to each one of us what we need. And when we say, well, I'm not satisfied with him. I want what he's got, or I want what she's got. We're telling God, you didn't give me the right one. I'll help you. I'm going to go get what I want. It don't matter who it hurts either. I'm going to go get it. And that's what kids are doing today. I can see it. They want money. They want the riches, but they don't want to work. They don't care who it hurts. They don't care what it takes. They're going to be rich. Their attitude, their whole heart is wrong. That's why I think he tells us to preach this heart attitude. It's the heart that has to change, or you're not going to see a change on the outside. So if I condemn the outside, you really think that what's going to get on the inside? Condemnation. Condemn them out here. You know what they're going to be? Condemned. Condemned. But if they're on the outside and you preach truth, you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to be without hope. You don't have to seek for riches that way. Look here, look in the Word of God, what God says. How many have had that impression laid upon their heart by pastors, teachers, friends, family? Has it been the love of truth, grace and truth? Then he said, I'm almost done, guys. All these things, which is idolatry. This is idol worship. For which things, all those things we just named, those things, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And we know that we've been saved from wrath through him, in which you also walked. See, that to me, really, these words get me. You walked there, and if you didn't, you still could. In which you also walked sometime, when you lived in them, when your life, when you counted you were still alive to those things, you could walk in them. Now comes faith, hope, and charity is what I'm hearing. Now put off all things. Put these off. Yula used to tell me she'd get up in the morning and say, I got to put on my spiritual clothing. I'm a new creation. I'm holy. I'm in Christ. I'm in my beloved. Old things passed away. Now put off these things. Anger. Have you ever got really angry? Here, I have. Well, if you get angry, and then there's wrath that follows. And then, if that doesn't work, the anger is just boiling within. You're boiling within, and then the next thing, when you get to malice, that's when you go, that's it. I am going to get vengeance on you. I'm going to see you hurt for what you've done to me. And I'm going to be so happy when I see it happen. We don't think people think like that. It is so true by the Word of God, or he wouldn't have it here. We need to say, I want to see you prosper. I want to see you grow up. I want you to enter into all these blessings. I want his bride to be ready. He deserves it. He said, you put off these things, the wrath, and then the malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Don't lie one to another. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. You see, with his deeds, when you put off the old man, he has deeds. When you put on the new man, you see some new deeds. I've seen people love me when I didn't deserve it. I go, wow, that's a message with deeds. Walking in truth. Saying, I love you and mean it. I forgive you. Mean it. We're lacking in this world all around us. There's no love. There is no joy. There's no forgiveness. I'll tell you what the world's full of. Condemnation. Judgment everywhere. It's, I don't know why, because it's already been judged. We have to each judge it as being judged. That's why I always tell people, you don't have to stay that way. So you're a murderer, right? And people say, well, that if that guy murdered somebody, he didn't get to go to heaven. Who are you? Yes, they do. If they accept the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, it doesn't want, they're going to put off the old man. Put him off. We don't know what day and what time. And I love this. He said, after you put on the new man, which is renewed, how often? Day by day. Renewed after the image of him that created him. Has he ever had to remind you, hey, that's not me. Put it back in the dust state. Reckon it dead. Count it dead. Now, I love this. Do you see any racism going on in this world? There is. Hopefully not in the church, but if you notice, it's being written in the Word of God. There is neither Greek, there's neither Jew, there's not circumcision, there's not uncircumcision, there's barbarian, sentient, I can't say that word, bond nor free, but this is what's supposed to be in the house. This is what we talk about. Christ is all in all. That's our concern. None of this. If we remember the true gospel, Paul said, I became as they were to gain the more. He didn't say I went out and started being a murderer or went out and did homosexuality. He didn't mean it. He's saying, ah, but for the grace of God. I just hear that all the time. And that's what I'm responsible for. You know, I'm not saying anyone has to take anything I say. I just know that this is what God has revealed to my heart. And if he wants to change that at any point in time, he will. But I know that in me was nothing good. Nothing. And I was pretty bad. But I praise God, I don't have to talk about that old bad person anymore. Start, hey, I'm a good person. I'm in Christ now. Well, what about the ugly one out there? If they don't want it, shake the dust off your feet and move on. Don't go hold picket signs out there. You know, I don't think God's in the line going like this. He knows the truth, and the truth will make him free. We are free, yes, free indeed. If you walk in that freedom and you walk in that love, that's what's going to draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's when you're going to get up and the God's going to say, go over and buy so-and-so some roses. He ever told you to do that? Well, let's say you did. And you took it to him and they go, what did you give me roses for? It's not even my birthday. Because Jesus said to him. They don't get it. What? I got to get her some roses now. No, you don't. You just thank Jesus. Look how much he loved you. Look how much he loved you that he had part of his body just came to you and handed you a dozen roses for no reason except I love you. There's more beauty in those words and in those kind of things, but you know what's better? Let the word have an effect. Be patient. Be long-suffering. Be forbearing. That's when we allow those things in here first. I have to. Because I'll tell you what, I can rise up in that old flesh like anybody else. But then he tells me, how do you rise up, Penny, when you're dead? You see, but he is making it real to us. Real. That's when the work is he hath done a good work. Let's all stand.